Over a century ago, those who sought opportunity in America looked to the West. Among them was a young man named Dwight Lyman Moody, who in his youth had no idea what God was going to do through him. Moody came from Boston to Chicago to make his fortune. He ended up filling the treasure house of heaven with people won to Christ, and then founding both the Moody Church and the Moody Bible Institute. From Chicago, this is the Moody Church Hour, a weekly service of worship and teaching under the ministry of Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Today, we bring you the first in a two-part series of messages on the life of a remarkable man. Later in our broadcast, Erwin Lutzer will speak on the topic, D.L. Moody, a Hero of Faith. Let's join the Moody Church congregation in worship.
Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning was taken from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and also from the selections from the Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. Please join me in the bold print. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we shall see him as he is. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Someone described him this way. He dropped out of school when he was 13, but he inspired students at Cambridge University in England and founded an internationally known school and church. He once preferred to only teach children because he was uncomfortable with adults due to his lack of education. But he ended up being one of the most persuasive orators of all time. He was born on a remote farm in rural Massachusetts, but became famous for conquering whole cities for Christ. He was in love with money, but ended up changing his priorities and living in austere conditions so that more money could go for the spread of the gospel. Someone else wrote, "He had the impulsiveness, quick temper, and rough humanity of the Apostle Peter, the single-mindedness and strategic skill and heartiness of the Apostle Paul, and the love and the steady growth and devotion to God of the Apostle John." The man, of course, is Dwight Lyman Moody. Even though I've had the privilege of being the pastor of Moody Church for 28 years, I've never taken out time publicly like this in a service to give you something of a biography of his life. I thought that I would speak only once about D.L. Moody, and then I realized that this has to be two parts. And so this is the first part of a two-part series. Why do I do it? I do it because, first of all, we should know something about our own history, something about our origins. I do it so that we might understand better our own vision and to clarify who D.L. Moody was. The name D.L. Moody is very famous around the world in evangelical circles, but when you leave that group and you go into the wider world, they don't have a clue as to who Dwight Lyman Moody was. I saw the confusion myself a few years ago. We have relatives, my family does, on my side, in Germany. And when they discovered that Wanda's son is the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, they, of course, did some investigation, and they wondered, what about this name Moody? So they looked it up in a dictionary. And they discovered, true story, they discovered it was irritable, depressing, unpredictable. And so they communicated and said, what in the world is the Moody Church? So we've got some PR work that we have to do. But the other reason I tell the story is because we need to be inspired to do great things for God like Moody did. What an inspiration he is to us. You may say, well, you know, I come to church to hear the word of God. Well, you will hear the word of God today through the life and the lips of Dwight Lyman Moody. There was nothing in his history that would ever make us think that he would be famous. In fact, he had some very, very humble origins. Born the fifth child of a large family on a farm in Massachusetts. His father died when he was 4 years old. His father drank too much whiskey and was in debt. So when he dropped dead one afternoon, Betsy Moody had the presence of mind to ask the oldest child to go and to hide some of the tools. And she herself took a calf and took him to another pasture because the creditors came and they took everything. They took the horse, they took the buggy, they took the cows, they even took the firewood. And it was 2 months after that, actually 1 month after that, that she gave birth to twins, meaning that now there was a family of nine. No wonder Dwight dropped out of school when he was about in grade 4 or 5 to help with the family. But when he was 17, he decided that he wanted to go to Boston. He wanted to be a salesman, and his uncle had a shoe shop there in Boston. And the uncle said, yes, you can come and sell shoes if you attend the Mount Vernon Congregational Church. So D.L. Moody did that, and that's where he was introduced to Edward Kimball, who was his Sunday school teacher. Now here's Moody. He's 17 years old. He goes to this class. And the teacher, Kimball, says, please turn to the Gospel of John. And he's looking for the Gospel of John in the Old Testament. And so Kimball, in order to avoid further embarrassment, because the other kids were rolling their eyes and giving stares, he took his open Bible, gave it to Moody, and took his back so that he taught now from the Bible of Dwight Moody. And Moody never forgot that act. The fact that his Sunday school teacher was willing to keep him from embarrassment immediately endeared him to his teacher. Kimball went to visit him in the shoe shop, discovered him in the back, was hesitant to go in, but decided that he would, and then and there explained the gospel that Jesus loved him, and if he believed on Jesus, he would be saved, and there Moody accepted Christ as a Savior, and he said that he knew it. He said immediately everything was different. He said the sun shone more clearly, and the birds even sang more loudly. He was converted, but when he became a member of the church, or tried to, he was rejected the first time around because they asked him this question, what has Jesus Christ done for us? And of course, the kid was nervous, but he said, well, I think that Jesus has done a great deal for us, but I cannot think of anything in particular right now. So they said, okay, we need to wait. And by the way, when you become a member of Moody Church, if you give that answer, we'll ask you to wait as well before you become a member. But the next year, he did become a member. Now he wanted to go to Chicago. He's only 19 years of age. But he has this great desire to go west. So for $5, he buys a train ticket and comes here to Chicago because he has another uncle who works in the shoe business. And when Moody came here, it was with one desire, and that was to earn $100,000, which in the 1850s was huge. We're talking millions in our money. And he set about to do it. But he also joined or became a member, yes, of the Plymouth Street Congregational Church here in the city. And he asked if he could teach Sunday school, and they said no. You have to understand, he was uneducated. His grammar was atrocious. And so they said no, but they said you can get some of your young people in the church. So he rented 4 pews. In those days, you rented pews, and he filled them with these kids. And the other members of the church were not too happy because of some of the smells that came from those 4 pews and some of the rowdiness of the kids. But Moody said, it's okay if I don't teach Sunday school as long as I can bring some of these young people to others who can teach them. There was a great revival going on here in Chicago at that time. We're in 1858. Metropolitan Hall, which no longer exists, it's at the right across the street from the Thompson Center. I checked this out years ago. Metropolitan Hall was filled for prayer every noon. I went across the street to the Historical Society many years ago and looked at the old microfilms of the Chicago newspapers to see what God did, and that's a phenomenal story. Moody attended these meetings, and he wrote back to his mother and said, "Oh, mother, I go to meeting every night. Pray that it will continue until every knee is bowed." But Moody then began to work at a mission, which was located where Moody Bible Institute is today, but he was still unhappy. And the reason is because even this mission did not minister to the poorest of the poor. So he went to what was known in those days as the Sands. The Sands was an area along Lake Michigan. This was the worst part of Chicago. It was known as a little hell. Chicagoans didn't go there. Even the police only gave it scant attention. Someone said regarding this place that it can be described with bad women and worse men who had fallen too low to feel at home anywhere else. And that's where Moody began to minister, because he said, nobody here will complain if I don't know how to speak properly and if I don't know how to read. So he rented a saloon, an abandoned saloon, and had meetings there every Sunday evening for these kids. The kids didn't want to come, so he used sugar candy. He used pony rides to try to entice them with various contests. He also used pennies that he would give them. And eventually the kids began to come. Now, he was criticized. He was criticized because the people said, "You're bribing kids to come to your Sunday school." And he defended it and said, "What difference is that than having a wonderful choir and beautiful architecture to try to entice people to come to church?" Moody didn't care, even though he was criticized for what was known as candy missionary sugar that he was using with the children. A man from Peoria by the name of Reynolds came to visit the Sunday school, and he said that there was Moody, and these are his words, with a little Negro boy on his lap next to candlelight, and Moody was trying to read the story in the Bible of the prodigal son, but stumbling over the words and missing some because he didn't know them. That ministry began to grow until there were 300 children. He needed more space. So then he moved to what was known as the North Market Hall, which held about room for about 1,000 or 1,500 kids. Now here's the point. Moody knew that in order to get these kids who were so rowdy and so rough, he was going to have to train them and break them in something like you do wild horses. I mean, the kids were doing somersaults and all kinds of stuff. So what he did is he had a regimen that he put them through in those meetings. And it was basically you sing one song, then you have a Bible study, then you allow for rowdy time. Everybody has rowdy time for a few minutes. It's true. And then what he'd do is do it over again, song, rowdy time, Bible study. He kept this up for 2 hours, convincing other teachers to come and help him, of course, to do this. And pretty soon the kids were disciplined enough that he could actually divide them into separate Sunday school classes. That's what he did. His Sunday school, because of enticements, you see, he was called Crazy Moody for a reason. I mean, you know, he went to the sands, his pony. He did crazy things. I could tell you some of those. I may have time for one or two today. But you see, the Sunday school began to grow. And now we're in 1860. Abraham Lincoln is elected president of the United States. And he is here in Chicago on his way to Washington to be inaugurated. And Lincoln is willing to leave a dinner party early to go to visit the Sunday school. And that's what Lincoln did. The president said that he will come as long as he doesn't have to speak. But before he left, Moody said, if Mr. Lincoln desires to say a word as he goes out, of course, all ears will be open. So Lincoln turned around and gave a brief address, ending with these words. With close attention, he's speaking now to all of the children that are there. With close attention to your teachers and hard work to put into practice what you learned from them, some one of you may also become president of the United States in due time, like myself, as you have had better opportunities than I had. After the president visited the Sunday school, D.L. Moody noticed a difference. Instead of people calling him Crazy Moody, they now referred to him as Brother Moody, and that was an improvement. It was during this time that D.L. Moody had a huge struggle on his hands. It was an internal struggle. You see, he was making lots of money. Imagine he was making $5,000 a year now selling real estate. The idea of banking $100,000 would certainly be within reach if he were to stick with the program. But internally, there was this battle because he really felt that he needed to go into full-time work. And others said it, but he said he would not listen to it. He had no time for the idea that he should leave his business to go to full-time work. And it was during that period of time that an incident happened that will teach us the first transforming lesson in D.L. Moody's life. It happened this way. He had a class of girls that was so rowdy that when he spoke to them and tried to teach them, they shouted in his face. He gave them to another teacher, and essentially the same thing happened. And this teacher came to him and said, "I'm dying. I have blood in my lungs. I'm very weak. I have to go back east by train to die to be with my mother." And he said, "But my burden is that none of these girls have trusted Christ as Savior." So Moody said, "Well, let's take my carriage and let's visit them." And so they did. The man was very weak. In fact, he could scarcely do it. But they went to the first girl, whose name was Mary. They explained the gospel that Jesus loves you and he died for sinners and you can receive him. And Mary got saved. They went to the second girl, and the same thing happened. Over a period of 10 days, they visited these girls, and at the end of 10 days, every one of them had come to saving faith in Christ. Now, D.L. Moody wanted to have a farewell service for the dying teacher, and he invited the girls to come. And at the end, Moody knelt, and the teacher knelt, and they prayed for one another. But now I want you to hear, in his own words, Moody's account. He says, "He prayed for me as superintendent of the school. After he prayed, I prayed. And when I was about to rise, to my surprise, one of those scholars," isn't that sweet? He's calling these girls scholars. They're about 12 years old. "One of these scholars began to pray, and she too prayed for the superintendent. Before we rose from our knees, every one of the girls had prayed. It seemed as if heaven and earth came together in that room. The next day, I went back to the store, but to my great amazement, I lost all ambition for the business. D.L. Moody said that after that, the idea of earning, you know, stockpiling $100,000 meant absolutely nothing to him. He said that this was so transforming, it lit a fire in his heart that never went out. He prayed later and said, "Oh God, let me die rather than miss the blessing I had that evening." And that's when the decision was made that he would leave business behind and he would now give the rest of his life to children and to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a remarkable story of devotion to the Lord. D.L. Moody said he'd have never made this decision to leave business were it not for that event. Now, let's just think for a moment. What if D.L. Moody had said yes to money? The first lesson that we learn from him is he said no to success, as it is generally defined. He said no to that, and he said yes to significance, eternal significance. But what if D.L. Moody had said, "Hey, I'm going the money route"? Could you imagine? No Moody Bible Institute, and instead of a Moody Bible Institute, maybe we'd have a Moody Hotel, because this was the day when many millionaires were made. Remember, this was the day of Marshall Fields. This was the day of Mr. Palmer of the Palmer House. This was the day of Cyrus McCormick, who made farm machinery. This was the day. Now, wouldn't that be something? No Moody Bible Institute, but a Moody Hotel. No Moody Church, but a Moody Shoe Shop. And then we'd be stuck possibly with just a Moody Pub instead of a Moody Publisher. Wouldn't that ever be awful? Can you imagine that? D.L. Moody decided that God would be first and people would be more important than earning money. Parenthesis, he raised more than $1.8 million in his lifetime for various projects. None of it stuck to his fingers. None of it. He lived an austere life of poverty so that the gospel could go out. Because once you have had the joy of seeing people's lives transformed by the gospel, nothing can ever take its place again. We have a marvelous heritage. Let's think for a moment about our own church here at the Moody Church. Now, we're thinking 130 years after Moody began what today we call the Moody Church. And he died in 1899, so we're more than 100 years after his death. How wonderful it is that when we built the Christian Life Center, that the second floor is totally devoted to children. We have a wonderful children's ministry under the leadership of Abby Noss. And now we have taken the unprecedented step of stepping out in faith and saying that we are hiring and bringing on staff a wonderful man by the name of Bob Gunter, Dr. Bob Gunter, who's going to be the head of the family ministry, making sure that in every department of our family ministries, we can say to the city of Chicago that if you want to go to a place that is not only family friendly, but family safe, and a place where you know that you'll be welcomed and helped, let it be the Moody Church. That's our desire, and that's our vision. Ten years ago, there's a woman whom all of us know who had her own experience, something like Dwight L. Moody. She was in the advertising business. Her name is Danita Travis. And her desire was to have an award in advertising. But God led her into children's ministry. And so as a result of her faith and vision beginning here and then going to Cabrini Green, recognizing that we have presently in the city of Chicago our own SANS area, the poorest of the poor, those that are most under-resourced. We began then that ministry in Cabrini Green, and it has expanded to Altgeld and to the Austin neighborhood. Let me say in parenthesis, this is a very expensive ministry because Danita rightly saw that you can't do what she wants to see done under the good hand of God simply by volunteers. There are nearly 50 people on the payroll, many of whom, most of whom, are actually full-time. But what a transforming ministry this is for those neighborhoods. And what an opportunity for hundreds of volunteers to be involved in the lives of children. You know, people who are 90 years old and over have been asked this question. The question that they are asked is, what would you do over again? What are your regrets? Almost all of them said something like this. They said, we wish that we had spent more time investing ourselves in that which will live beyond us. My friend, when you are involved in the ministry of children, leading them to Christ and taking them by the hand and taking them where they need to go, you can be sure that you are investing heavily in that which will outlive you. D.L. Moody, yeah, you can clap if you want. D.L. Moody has been in heaven for what to us appears to be a long time. So I don't think he's at all knowing what's going on here on earth. But this week, as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, if D.L. Moody knew, if he knew what we were doing here at the church, all we can to have a ministry to children, if D.L. Moody knew about By the Hand, a club for kids, which in many respects far exceeds any of his original vision and work. If he knew that we were raising funds for the Redemption Project to help build an orphanage in India for girls who are being rescued out of sexual slavery, D.L. Moody would say, yeah, go for it. That's my kind of ministry. And that's what God is calling us to do today, is to follow that legacy. Now, very quickly, in 1862, D.L. Moody married Emma Revell. Good idea. D.L. Moody had all of the characteristics of ADD, attention deficit disorder. I'm serious. Flighty, impatient, began many ministries, didn't want to continue them, but always recruited others. Great at recruiting. Everybody recruit. Well, you can use your gifts over here. You can do what I'm doing. He'd show them how, and then he'd move on. And sometimes doing, yeah, silly things. I mean, I'm talking about finding a girl that he invites to his Sunday school, and next week he sees her, and she wasn't there. She sees him, and she begins to run. He chases her down the street, up an alley, through a saloon, into her apartment. She is under the bed. He pulls her out by her leg, and talks to her and to her mother and leads the family to Jesus Christ. By the way, don't do that or you'll be arrested, I can assure you. All right? They didn't call him Crazy Moody for anything, for no reason. You know, the Bible says, let your light shine. D.L. Moody's light was basically a blowtorch, actually. That's the kind of man he was. And Emma Revell, and by the way, her brother began, you know, the Revell Publishing Company. Emma was his balance wheel. That's what he called her. She somehow helped him with his schedule. She answered his mail. She became, in effect, his chief of staff, keeping him from people who did nothing but waste his time. And certainly, I mean, she saved Moody Bible Institute. I mean, there was such a disagreement as to how the school was to be founded. D.L. Moody resigned. I'm out of here. You guys can't get along. I want nothing to do with it. She writes a 19-page letter explaining Dwight's frustration, and she encourages him to telegraph that he is rescinding his resignation. And that's how come Moody Bible Institute exists today. Remarkable woman. 1864, 2 years after he is married, 1864, you have the beginning of the Illinois Street Church, which, of course, is our date for the beginning of the Moody Church. Now, there was another event that transformed Moody. If the first event was the salvation of these girls, when Moody said, my aims are too small, aiming at money is too low. I have a grander purpose for which we to live. The joy of seeing these young people come to know Christ as Savior. The second event happened in the Great Chicago Fire, 7 years after the Illinois Street Church was founded. You have the Great Chicago Fire. D.L. Moody is preaching in North Market Hall. His sermon is, "What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And then he tells the people, "Think about it and come back next week." But before the meeting was over, there were fire sirens and bells were ringing and Chicago was burning. It was a wooden city in those days. Hundreds of miles even of wooden sidewalks. 3.5 miles of the city of Chicago. 3.5 square miles of the city of Chicago burned. 90,000 people without homes. 300 people dead. And Moody never saw that crowd again. And he said to himself, "I've learned one lesson, to always press the claims of Christ upon people, because you do not know whether or not there will be a tomorrow." If the first lesson was the need to trade his idea of success in for significance, for eternal significance, the second lesson was to concentrate only on the gospel. Before the fire, Moody was involved in so many different things that he couldn't focus on the one thing to which God had called him. Eventually, he would say, "This one thing I do, and not these 40 things I dabble in." D.L. Moody was constantly concerned about the one thing. He kept the main thing, which is the gospel. And to him, the Chicago Fire was kind of a template. It was a recognition that this is the way in which the world really is. The world is burning, and people are going to hell. And our responsibility is to rescue people from the fire, so to speak. Moody has been frequently criticized for not having, quote, a social conscience. But that's not true. If we had time, I would tell you about all of the things that he did socially. Maybe in the next message, I can mention his trips to the Civil War and the scenes there and how he helped the soldiers and all of the things that D.L. Moody was involved in. Someone has well said that there were two fires in Chicago. One fire was the fire which eventually was contained, the Great Chicago Fire, but there was another fire going on in Chicago, and that was the fire that had been lit in D.L. Moody's heart. He was passionately involved in soul winning for the rest of his life. And he did it in his large rallies. Next time, I'm going to tell you that this man, this is unbelievable, but there are 60 biographies written about Moody. 60, more than 60. I've only read a couple and then glanced at some of the others. But all of the writers say that it is conservative to say that D.L. Moody preached in his lifetime to 100 million people. Imagine that, without a PA system, without jet planes. Particularly, yes, here in the great rallies in the United States, but in Great Britain, the British Isles, I'll tell you about that in the next message. Absolutely unbelievable, the fame that this man ended up having. But he was always a personal soul winner. You know, there is a story that R.A. Torrey tells, who was a friend of Moody's. He said that Moody never went to bed. In fact, Moody had this rule: he will not go to bed unless he's witnessed to someone that day and hopefully brought them to Christ. And so it was almost bedtime. Moody hadn't led anyone to Christ. So he got up and he went and he found a man standing along the street and said to him, "Are you a Christian?" The man said, "That's none of your business." Moody says, "That is my business." And he said, "You must be Dwight L. Moody." And he said, "Yeah, that's who I am." Always leading people to Christ, never forgetting children. Famous story, Moody comes in one day and said, "Well, I led 2.5 people to Christ today." And somebody said, "Oh, 2 adults and a child." "Oh, no," he said, "2 children and an adult." Yeah. The adult, is half of his life is over. It's the children that have their entire lives to live for the honor and the glory of God. Now, in that original church, and by the way, I need to explain this. 1864, you have the Illinois Street Church. It, of course, is totally burned down in the Great Chicago Fire. You have a second place where the meetings were held, and that is called the Northside Tabernacle. D.L. Moody raised funds for this, but it was recognized to be a temporary structure. Then you have a church where Moody Bible Institute is today. It's known as the Chicago Avenue Church, and we have pictures of it. It was a wonderful church. It wasn't as large as this one, but it had to be torn down when LaSalle Street was widened. And that's why they came a mile north then of from where they were, where the Moody Bible Institute is today, a mile north, and they purchased this property. And this church was dedicated in 1925. D.L. Moody died in 1899. So if you do the math, you know that he never preached in this particular building. But D.L. Moody is the one, you see, who has given the inspiration to the great ministries that we think about when we even think of the name Moody. But on that original church, 1864, there was a sign that said these words: "Ever welcome in this house of God are the strangers and the poor." Moody never lost sight of the poor despite his fame. Did you know that that sign is also on our church? If you've never seen it, let me tell you that do it before you leave today. You go out the Clark Street side and you find the cornerstone. And above the cornerstone, there is this plaque, the D.L. Moody Church and Sunday School. "Ever welcome to this house of God are the strangers and the poor." Isn't it interesting that a few years ago, when a number of us met together to decide the focus of Moody Church and who we really were, we came up with a 14-word statement, and we call it the promise statement, that Moody Church is a trusted place where anyone can connect with God and others. We're trying to carry on in our own way the legacy and the vision of D.L. Moody. A number of years ago, when we did a survey, we discovered that we have present with us about 56 different nationalities, that is to say, countries of origin, here at the Moody Church. Let me tell you about last Wednesday. I was leading prayer meeting, and the thought occurred to me as we were singing one of the hymns, wouldn't it be interesting to give praise to God in different languages? There weren't a whole lot of people there. It wasn't as large as we'd like to see prayer meeting be. But we began to ask people to identify themselves who have a different country of origin or who speak a different language. And then what we did while all of us were standing is people gave praise to God one after another in the different languages. A young woman who was near the front, I asked her to keep count, and she thought that it was about 14 or 15 different languages within this small group. I mean, it was blessed. We had Korean, we had Japanese, we had Hungarian, we had Albanian, we had Chinese, we had Spanish, and it ended with someone who has a different country of origin giving God praise in German, of all things, a language that I think God also understands. I think some of you maybe missed all that. I won't repeat it, but think about it for a moment. Imagine in this small group, 15 different tongues, 15 different languages giving praise to God. You've often heard me say, I want Moody Church to look like heaven, where people come from every tongue, every nation, and every language, and every culture, all of whom give praise and honor to God as Lord and as Savior. What does all this mean for us? A couple of things. First of all, very important for us to realize, two lessons. Number one, what we need to do is to be done with success, the way in which the world defines it. And what we need to do is make decisions that are going to give us eternal significance. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said that those who save their lives, those who play it safe, those who are self-absorbed, those whose goals are definable in terms of this world, those who say, I'm going to earn money, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, if you save your life, Jesus said, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, he says, and for the sake of the gospel, he said, you will find it. There's a different way also that Jesus put it. He said, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In the next message, I'm going to tell you about something that happened to D.L. Moody that is so revolutionary that if we followed his path, we also would transform this city as God began to work in his life and in his heart. But one thing is sure, there came a time in D.L. Moody's life when he died to everything that D.L. Moody wanted to do. And he said he has only one ambition, and that is to do God's work and to spread the good news of the gospel. Which really is the second lesson. Our focus must always be the main thing being the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we are involved in holistic ministries. Of course, we help and we feed the poor and we help clothe the naked and we do all of those things that are so much an outgrowth of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we build orphanages and we raise money for children's ministries. But at the end of the day, we know what the end game is. We know it is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I could not be true to D.L. Moody nor true to the scriptures if I just left you here today without appealing to you that you, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that you would come to know him, his forgiveness, his love, and his matchless grace. It is available to all those who savingly believe on him. D.L. Moody began being an orator only by telling Bible stories to children. That's where it all began. But he developed his ability to speak, and he was quite a preacher. Someone said of Moody, he was a plain man who preached the plain gospel plainly. That's the way to describe him. His sermons had imagination, they had immediacy, they were sermons that helped people to get excited about what it was that Moody was preaching about. And so what I'd like to do today is to conclude with just a paragraph of D.L. Moody's messages, just one paragraph of one of his messages. And I conclude this way as an appeal to you. Hear this not as the words of D.L. Moody. Hear it not as the words, my words to you, but think of it in relationship to your soul and your eternal salvation. Here we go. And by the way, I'm not impersonating him. I don't know how D.L. Moody spoke, although we have about 10 words of D.L. Moody on a recording. Can you believe that? 1899, people were beginning to record voices, and we have that in our possession. But here, listen to the words of D.L. Moody. I can imagine when Christ said to that little band around him, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Peter said, Lord, do you really mean that we're to go back to Jerusalem and preach the gospel to those men who murdered you? Yes, said Christ, go. Hunt up that man that spat in my face and tell him that he may have a seat in my kingdom. Yes, Peter, go find that man that made the cruel crown of thorns and placed it on my brow, and tell him I will have a crown ready for him when he comes into my kingdom, and there will be no thorns in it. Hunt up that man that took a reed and brought it down over the cruel thorns, driving them into my brow, and tell him that I will put a scepter in his hand, and he shall rule over the nations of the earth if he's willing to accept salvation. Search for the man that drove the spear into my side and tell him that there is a nearer way to my heart than that. Tell him I forgive him freely and that he can be saved if he will accept salvation as a gift. Those are the kinds of words preached by Dwight L. Moody. I say to you today, no matter where you are, I appeal to you. Wish D.L. Moody were here to do it, but he's not. I appeal to you in the name of Jesus. If you've never received him as Savior, he can forgive you. You come with your shame, you come with your regrets, and you even come with your unanswered questions, but you come to receive. You come to be forgiven, and you come to be transformed by the same gospel that changed the life of Moody, change the life of thousands and thousands of children. And the same gospel that is still doing it today. You come to Christ. And now let me pray. Father, thank you for the way in which D.L. Moody's life corrects us. Thank you, Father, for the way in which it instructs us and challenges us and helps us realize once again what the issues are. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that right now they may say, well, if the thief could be saved on the cross, if the man who struck Christ with a sword could be saved, if he believed, I will believe. Cause them to do that. For those of us who know you as Savior, we pray in Jesus' name, please, Lord, help us to give up the toys and to pour our lives into that which will outlive us. Enable us to do that. May we be a transforming community in the great city of Chicago. The legacy given to us, yes, by Dwight L. Moody, but more importantly, by your holy word, that we shall be light and salt and hope to a very broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that as we sing together hymn number 588, All for Jesus, All for Jesus, that God would enable us to sing that song as we have never sung it before. Let's all stand to sing, shall we?
On today's Moody Church Hour, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought the first of two messages on D.L. Moody, a hero of faith. Next week, don't miss part two. Our series on D.L. Moody can be yours on CD for a gift of any amount to the Moody Church Hour. Call 1-800-215-5001. Let us know you'd like to help support Dr. Lutzer's ministry. Our thank you will be a set of two messages that will challenge you to be the kind of person God can use. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001 or write to us at The Moody Church, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. That's The Moody Church, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. Mention the CD, D.L. Moody, A Hero of Faith, when you write or call. Online, go to moodyoffer.com. That's moodyoffer, all one word, .com. Join us next week at this same time for another Moody Church Hour with Dr. Erwin Lutzer and the congregation of Historic Moody Church in Chicago.